Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
The volume.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What up, y'all? T-Bob here from Snaps, your new favorite college football show on FanDuel. And it might be getting cold, but the sports calendar is heating up. That's why it's the best time of the year. There's so much different place to bet on. Whether you want to bet on the World Cup, you want to bet on the NBA, the NFL, college football, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel. The app is safe, secure, easy to use. They have great exclusive offers, boosts. You get paid fast when you win, and they have all the different ways you can play moneyline, over-unders, totals, props, futures. And with live betting, you can jump in even if you get to your phone late. And who doesn't love a good same game parlay? Plus, FanDuel now live in Maryland. And never forget, that's what Maryland does. Crab cakes, football, and FanDuel. So use promo code SNAPS and download the FanDuel app today to make every moment more. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome into a brand new edition of Snaps here on the Volume Sports YouTube channel. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button, hit subscribe. We were given the note that we're supposed to be more facial, so I'm attempting to do my best right now. I hope this plays. Give you a couple of face for some
for
YouTube.
For the record, that was a note for me and not for you.
Aaron, look very surprised right now. Look very, like, there you go, Brum. There you go. The perfect thumbnail for tomorrow's show. Look, I don't make the YouTube rules, okay, boys? This is just how it's done. A huge thank you for joining us here on Snaps today. I am one of your hosts, T-Bob Hebert. We love doing this. It's the most fun I have every single day. And I'm joined, as always, by your other host, SEC legend, a man who has a bust in the Florida-Georgia Hall of Fame. We're talking about Mr. Aaron Murray. Aaron, what happened, man?
So if you wonder why this conversation started or T-Bob's ragging me for my ugly-ass bust, Sequavius, okay. We were discussing, is probably the most beautiful bust there could possibly be right now. But unfortunately, they don't give a bust out for the Heisman Trophy winner. But no, T-Bob, I'm doing good, doing well. I was in the motherland earlier today in Athens, Georgia, so I'm very, very happy at the moment. Always good to go home.
So before you bust, okay, I didn't say that Sequavius had the most beautiful bust. What I said is that there has never been a more bust-ass looking college football player in college football history. Brum, I don't know if you have the picture from the group chat ready to go right now, but you can get it up later. But I mean, like, the man looks like his face was cast of marble back in like 78 BC. right? He would be right in like Fall of the Roman Republic, Rise of the Empire. You know, your Sulla, your Caesar. In fact, he looks a lot like Crassus, one of the original triumvirate. Now, I don't think he's a predatory landlord in the same way that Crassus was. And who knows? Maybe he'll meet the same doom that Crassus did going into the desert, seeking military glory. But, I mean, just look at Sets and Bennett's face. There's never – and it's then so appropriate. Although I get more of a Roman feeling from him. But still, when Rome conquered Greece, they still kind of you know, Athens was still cool in their book. It was like the very intelligent thing to do was to go visit Athens. Very appropriate then that the most Greco-Roman bust player in all of college football is literally leading the men of Athens on military campaign. And that is where we are going to start today. As I ask you a very simple question, Aaron Murray, are the Georgia Bulldogs right now building a true college football dynasty?
Well, I think they're already in the dynasty phase. And let's not forget, go back to, what was it, 2017. They were a 2nd and 26 away from winning that. Look, I mean, look at that face. I mean, does that
look at that? I mean, the aquiline nose. Okay, like for those that are listening on the podcast, bro, just put up the picture here. But the kind of aquiline nose, the heavy brow, the dark eyebrows, the curly hair, the kind of sunken cheeks, you know, the kind of sunken cheeks, the sharp chin, just a lot of harsh angles to Stetson's face. And it works perfectly when thinking about him in statue form. We should probably bring up Aaron's really bust whenever we can as well.
No, we should probably stay away from bringing up my bust for any silly reason. But going back to what you said, T-Bob, like I think the dynasty's already started. You're back to 17 and what they did, then should have. They didn't win the football game, but they had an opportunity to win that football game. And, you know, Tua drove them back and won the game in the overtime, that 2nd and 26. But then from there, they just keep, you know, they're winning the East. They're getting the SEC championship games. They're getting close. They're getting to the playoffs. And finally, they broke through last year. I think that was kind of the last thing that needed to be accomplished for the dynasty to really be considered. We are in it right now. Like it is happening before our very own eyes at the moment. And then this year to lose what they lost, to be the heavy favorite to win a national championship for back-to-back seasons, which we know is almost impossible to do, this is the closest thing that we're going to see to what Nick Saban and Alabama did from about whatever 2009 to 2021. That is what Georgia is, I would say, 2 or 3 years in right now. And I think you're going to see another 7-10 years of it, if not greater, because of the resources, because of Kirby's age. I mean, Kirby's a young guy. He's not, you know, I think he's in his late 40s, I believe. Like, he's got a lot of juice, a lot of energy, a lot of resources, the facilities, the players. I mean, I've been over and over on the show why Georgia is positioned to have success for the long run. But I think they're already in the dynasty. And I think winning this year, Aaron, will only cement that. Go.
What the hell are you talking about? Ryan, Brum, maybe you can give me, and maybe Chad can help me out here too. Can anybody give me one example of a dynasty that only had one national championship? I'll wait. Can anybody give me a single example of a dynasty with one national championship? For you to say, before they win this one, for you to say they are already a dynasty is the height of absurdity. Now, in the original question, are they building a dynasty? Well, to that, I would ask you a question. Does a bear shit in the woods? Is Aaron Murray's couch too big on the players' lounge? Is every risk risky? Does Aaron's bust at the Georgia-Florida Hall of Fame look like a deviant sexual predator? The answer to all of these are very self-evident truths. The answer is yes, okay? Yeah. So if Georgia building a dynasty, absolutely, right? In year one under Kirby Smart, they're 8-5. Over the next 4 years, they go 44-9. They go to 3 SEC championships with 1 win. That includes a playoff win at the Rose Bowl. That barely national championship loss, which, unlike you, I don't count that as a natty. I guess you count that as a win because you blew it against an Alabama team with a backup quarterback. But it's still impressive in terms of building a dynasty.
Who's starting in the NFL right now? Who may win the NFL?
I don't give a damn, dude. Hey, do I get a national championship ring because we got our ass kicked by Alabama in a rematch? No, get the hell out of here. The point is, though, from 8-5, so over the next 4 years, they had a playoff win. They barely lost to Natty. They won SEC championship. They won a Sugar Bowl. They won a Peach Bowl. And then the last 2 years, 27-1. 1-1 in SEC championships. They have the national championship. They're going to the playoffs the second year in a row. This time as the one seed. They had a perfect SEC season, which they had not done yet this year. They will likely win another national championship. And when they do, well, then they entered rarefied air. So well, absolutely, yes, they are building a dynasty, but now you have to push that thing across the finish line. We've seen how these things can implode or fall off. And ultimately, no, if we're talking dynasty, all that matters is championship. If you don't win a championship this year, you are not a dynasty. I'll still allow you building status because you could bounce back and win one next year and you could get there right then. But like, no, unless you win one this year, you are not a dynasty yet.
Okay, so I think you said it better in the building stages, but what I'm saying, like, if when we look, and this is just me projecting of what the next 10 years is going to be for the University of Georgia under Kirby Smart, when we look back in 2030, we will say Georgia was in the middle of a dynasty in 2022. This is just more confidence of more than anything based on what have we seen from Georgia for the past 5 years. We've seen Kirby bring them to a Natty in 2017. We've seen them win SEC championship games. We've seen them win a Rose Bowl. We've seen them been to the playoffs. We've seen them win a national championship, and we've seen them win now another national championship. All I'm saying is when we look back, we will say the dynasty started somewhere in that between that 2017, 2018 year. That's it. So, yes, yeah. They are still building fair. It. They're still building it. But this is me just more saying, you know, me rubbing my crystal ball right now, looking ahead in the future in 10 years, saying I think there's a legitimate chance that Georgia wins another two or three national championships in the next decade. So then all of a sudden that's three or four natties in a, 10, 12 year period with SEC championships on top of that, with first round picks off the galore. To me, that is a signal of a dynasty. So yes, T-Bob, I am projecting that. So they are, according to my calculations, in the middle of a dynasty right now.
If they get across the finish line, then yes, the count will start with the lost national championship in 17, most likely. But look at what happened to Clemson. Do you consider Clemson a dynasty? They went, didn't they go to like three national championships in 5 years? Did they win two of them things? Like,
the issue is it's hard to consider them a dynasty. Yeah, but the difference with them is the fact that they were in the middle of Alabama's dynasty. Like it's kind of hard to have two kings of the mountain, and they kind of knocked each other off.
You can't have two dynasties at the same time. It's literally impossible.
Yeah, so that's the problem. Like that was Nick Saban's run, and Clemson got close to maybe knocking them off and starting their own, and they had their moments here or there where you saw some weakness in Alabama. But no, that was Alabama's run.
But that applies to Georgia. Everything you just said applies to Georgia. Unless Alabama continues the downward trend that they are on, certainly it looks like we are at the end of the Saban dynasty, but it's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. If Saban comes out here
Trends right now. Yes, you can play the what if game. What if they fall off like Clemson? Like I get that. Do that all you want. I'm just saying, from what I know, and call me biased, from what I know about Georgia football, what I've seen with my own eyes for the past 5 years, and what I've seen from Alabama for the past couple of years, and some of the issues that I look at what Alabama is going to have next year and what Georgia brings back next season and the way that they've recruited, I can confidently say this team is not going anywhere. And the age difference between Kirby and Saban, yes, the Alabama dynasty, while they may win one national championship in the next 4 or 5 years, is coming to an end. And the next thing, the next person who has the opportunity to stake that flag in the ground and say, hey, I am now the king. Hey, now that this is my 15-year run, is Kirby Smart. And I do, once again, believe we are in the middle of that run right now. And do they have to win more national championships to solidify that? Yes. And if they win, if they win this year, will you say, if they win the Natty in a month, will you say and agree with me that they are right now in the middle of their dynasty run? Do they need to win?
If they win
more?
The Natty,
that's the question.
Yes. Like the Jedi Council should have done with Anakin Skywalker. If they win the Natty against this year, I will grant them the rank of dynasty. If you don't, though, you're Urban Meyer, right? I mean, you're Urban Meyer and Ryan Day at Ohio State.
Yeah.
A lot of great wins, but no big rings to show for it. Save for the Ryan. One. No, I know, but Ryan Day's kind of a continuation of that Urban Meyer dominance. Like they have won at the level that Kirby Smart has won at Georgia, at Ohio State, but they only have one national championship to show for it. Now, look, let's be clear. If Georgia wins again this year, A couple of things. First off, that's what, 29-1 over the last 2 years?
It's more than that.
15 games a year, right?
Well, I guess if you go back, they've won over the last 2 years, but they've won, I think, 32.
I think they've won 31 out of the last 32 of two games coming up. So they would have won 33 of their last 34 games, which puts you in the air of like the USC 2003-05 run, the Miami 99-01 run, or 2002.
Okay. So you'll be 33-1 since we're going to, I guess, tack on random games from 2 years ago and a year that didn't end in a championship. Sure. Let's do that. You'll be 33-1 with back-to-back national championships. And I don't think we quite realize how rare back-to-back national championships are. Like, Nick Saban only did it once. For all the talk of Alabama dynasty, and it is undeniably a dynasty, only in 2011 and 2012 did Alabama end up with back-to-back national championships. So to do that in the playoff era is arguably even more impressive. I mean, before that, the 11-12 Bama one, you got to go back to 03-04 USC. And even they very famously shared that 03 national championship with LSU. Then you go back to Nebraska, 94-95. Nebraska also did it 70-71. Tell me you can't win a national championship in Lincoln. Just not true. Just not true. Oklahoma did it 74-75. They also did it in 55-56. Then you got to go to Notre Dame 46-47. Then you got to go to Army, who did it in 44-45, which I got to imagine Army kind of had an advantage here, right? Everybody's going off to World War II. Army's like keeping all the best athletes to stay home and play football instead of having them die in a brutal European front. But whatever, they got the rings. So maybe it was worth it. And then you got to go to Minnesota in 40-41. So this does not happen. Like, that is the main reason why I will grant Georgia dynastyhood is with that great beginning that you know, the past 4 or 5 years combined now with a 2-year stretch that is at or near the top of every, you know, of any run, any 2-year sample we've ever seen in college football. I will grant you the run of dynasty, but you have to go beat Ohio State. And that's why this playoff matchup is so fascinating to me. This is make no mistake, this is what I call a classic golden ticket game for Ohio State. You want the golden ticket out of all of your problems, right? You want to get your grandparents out of bed finally and go get the tour of the chocolate factory, the grandpa dancing around nimbly bimbly and almost losing everything before convincing the old mad wizard to give you everything in the end. Your chance to do it, Ryan Day, lies against Georgia upcoming in the playoff. Because if you beat that Georgia team, well, all of a sudden, it doesn't matter you didn't win the Big Ten. It doesn't matter you didn't beat Michigan because you're probably going to get another crack at him in the national championship. I mean, you solve all of your woes in one fell swoop if you're Ohio State. Whereas if you're Georgia, you have just another chance to prove that you are that dynastic power and that this is the age of the Bulldog and the men of Athens. And that, look, when we focus, no one is up on our level.
Yeah, I agree. Like, the Ohio State, this is an opportunity to right the wrongs. I do think this game between Georgia and Ohio State, the winner will win the national championship at the end of the day. I think Ohio State, to me, is still the better team versus Michigan. And I know they've lost the past two games against them. So, like, you know, history's not really on my side here. It's just, I had that much confidence in the offense. And I still think what we saw from J.J. McCarthy in that game versus Ohio State, I don't think he's going to be able to duplicate that going forward. So I think winner of Georgia versus Ohio State, especially if it's Georgia. Like, I have supreme confidence right now. If Georgia beats Ohio State, Georgia is a better football team than Michigan. And that game, honestly, I think would be a blowout. I think obviously they would take care of business versus TCU as well. And I will say that I think Ohio State is still, in my mind, the better of the two football teams and would beat Michigan in a rematch this year. So it's going to be a great football game. Is Ohio State good enough to beat Georgia? And I was in the building today and I was talking with some people about that. And you know, they're, I wouldn't say nervous. Everyone's very confident. They believe they're the better team. But this is a matchup that is something that is Ohio State's strengths versus Georgia's weakness a little bit. Georgia has struggled against the pass this year at times. And I know they look good versus Tennessee and Hendon missed a couple deep balls that if he would have connected on like a that go ball to Hyatt or another go ball on the outside, that could have been a different football game Georgia has shown to be vulnerable on the backside. And if CJ Stroud and that offense get going, that is not the offense that they are best suited and equipped to slow down. So
wait now, Aaron, but you on Twitter stumbled across a stat which kind of blew my mind a little bit, which is as intimidating as Ohio State and CJ Stroud may look on paper, he's actually not great against ranked teams. Maybe not really even compared to some of his peers. Granted, I guess you're right. It is a small sample size. He's had three ranked games this year. But five touchdowns, two interceptions. I guess not too much to write home about compared to like a Caleb Williams or some of the other teams that we talk about. So a lot on the line for CJ Stroud, I think, to prove as well. So you heard it here first, though. Confirmed, Georgia Bulldogs anxious and scared of this Ohio State matchup. Thank you for the inside info, Aaron. Did you learn that while you were hanging out in the butt smear players lounge?
The butts smear. First off, not scared. Let's simmer down these headlines real quick before Brumfield's tweeting it out. No, scared is not the right word. They are eagerly awaiting the challenge for what Ohio State presents to them with their vertical passing attack. That is more the headline that needs to be coming out of the butt smear building there in Athens, Georgia.
Try to inject a little more bullshit politic talk around the issue into that sentence.
You're just T-Ball's over here trying to get me. You're literally trying to get me kicked out of the butt smear. What? Like, you know, it's gonna be like, oh, Aaron's not allowed in the butt smear because now he's screaming out that Georgia players are saying that they're scared to face Ohio State, which is completely false. So
given my gastrointestinal history, I am shocked I'm not a Hall of Fame member of the butt smear. Okay. Like, where is my invite? Why am I not? Why don't I have a bust hanging out in the butt smear for somebody that doesn't know what we're talking about?
Just hold on. What are we talking about?
Is that I think it's like the weight room maybe or something. And it's literally called the butts mirror building. It's a big kind of Jack Meehoff sort of thing. Oh my God, dude, it looks even crazier in person. Okay, so again, if you're listening on podcasts, you can catch it on YouTube on the Bobby Sports YouTube channel, where if you do, hit the like button, subscribe. But we are, Aaron has gotten his bust out from the Florida Georgia Hall of Fame game, and it is terrifying on the level. It is up there with the Cristiano Ronaldo meme statue that made the rounds a couple of years ago. A very predatory smile.
It scares the shit out of my son. My son does not like it. Yeah, it makes sense. He's just freaked out. It is not. It's something you put like on your front porch during Halloween to scare the kids. Like that's how bad it is.
I agree with Christopher David. That it looks like you got hit like with some Joker gas or something in that picture. All right, we need to move on after all this Georgia talk. Look, all I'm saying is, boys, don't blow it. Okay? You're so close to being a dynasty. It would really
Here's the headline.
If you were to trip up now.
T-Bob declares Georgia's a dynasty after second national championship. That to me is the headline of the past 22 minutes. Yeah.
I'll stand by it. I got no problem with that. Because look, I'm objective, okay? I'm beholden to facts and facts only. Like the fact that they should remake the National D Lineman of the Year trophy. They should remake that trophy to the Jalen Carter pose of him holding Jaden Daniels and the number one up. Like that would be a sick trophy. That'd be a good bust. Okay, let's get to the next topic on the show today. And this is one that, you know, it's kind of interesting. I thought me and Aaron would be lined up on this. And we, in fact, find ourselves very naturally on the opposite side of this issue. Remember yesterday we were going over transfer portal Christmas presents, and the most awful timeline was laid out where Drake May, a guy who Aaron has told you from watching film, reminds him of Aaron Rodgers because of his lower body work, his footwork, how he can move, how he can launch the ball. The darkest timeline is Drake May transferring from UNC and going to Alabama. As soon as you put it in my head yesterday, it started to percolate and made me very sad. And so I was ecstatic when I saw yesterday that Drake May said, I ain't going nowhere. Wolf of Wall Street style. He's staying right there in Chapel Hill. That's what I'm talking about, Drake May. That is the correct decision to to stay, be a Jumpman athlete, get that money, be a Chapel Hill hero. He comes from a UNC family. Good shit, Drake May. Stay in a Tar Heel.
I'm happy for him. Like, good for him. Good for him for sticking to his – I love in a world where guys are jumping left and right, in a world where guys are leaving, like Spencer Sanders, who's a starter. Like, the amount of starters we've discussed is that are leaving to go to new homes is still baffling to me. Like, I would never in my right mind think about leaving the University of Georgia at, like, my senior year after I started for 3 years. Like, oh, I'm bored. Let me go play somewhere else. I don't get it. I do think NIL does play a part in all of this that we're seeing right now. But I'm not poo-pooing his decision. I'm just more shocked.
Stand by your take. Stand by your take, coward. Brum is over here wilting in disappointment. Stand by your take. Did Drake May make the correct decision staying at UNC?
In a world where it is easy to look at yourself and say, what do I want and what's the quickest way to success and stardom and championships and personal awards? Yes, he should have left if that's the case. If he's a guy that wants to go win a national championship and have an easier path to do it, a more realistic path to doing it, he should have left. He should have gone to Alabama. Shoot, he probably could have gone to Georgia. You know, I love what Georgia has on the roster, backing up sets right now. I think Carson Beck is going to be a stud. But he could have looked at that situation and said, hey, man, you got Brock Bowers, A.D. Mitchell, McConkey, a young defense, an offensive line that's number two in the country right now. Look at it. He looks good in Alabama uniform. I want to go be a Bulldog. I want to go be a Crimson Tide. Put me an opportunity to go win a championship. Put me in a better situation to go win a Heisman. You know, last year, Alabama's quarterback won a Heisman. This year, Georgia's quarterback is one of the finalists to win the Heisman. When's the last time UNC won a championship? When's the last time UNC put someone in New York as a Heisman finalist? So, yes, if he's a guy that wants to be like everyone else who's chasing all these things, he should have left. But I'll say I am very happy that he stuck to his commitment, because he could have gone to Alabama. He was originally committed to Alabama. He backed out. UNC is his home. He wanted to go there. I love the story. I'm just more anything shocked that he's not taking the opportunity to go somewhere and become even more of a superstar than he already is now.
You know what else seeks the path of least resistance? Water. You know what water is? Wishy-washy, okay? And Drake May ain't some wishy-washy little bitch like you are, Aaron Murray, okay? No. Drake May, hey,
I stayed all four years, T-Bob.
Stands by his commitment, okay? And, answer me this. In all seriousness, and I believe this in my core. Tell me if you agree or not. True or false? ACC championship at UNC means more than a national championship at Alabama. I believe it.
You won the worst league in America.
What has happened more often? Doesn't matter. What means more to the fans, to the school? Does Alabama care more about winning another Natty or UNC winning the AC championship in football? They'd be besides themselves. It never happens. No. When was the last time it happened? I don't know. Let's look it up.
And what are the chances of it going to happen? That's the question. Like, is it realistic for him to think that he's going to win an AC championship game as Florida State is evolving and becoming, you know, more the Florida State that we know, when Clemson is still the dominant factor with way farther superior athletes on both sides of the football than you had. Look at the game that just occurred this weekend. Clemson didn't even have a legitimate quarterback, and they still beat the living crap out of North Carolina. Like, that is how far North Carolina is behind the big boys in that conference.
That's okay.
And I don't see it turning around next season for him, because he has one more year left. That's it. He's got one more go, and then he's going to be a top five pick in the NFL draft next season. Why not go out with a bang? Why not go out there and go somewhere where you can go win a national championship, where you can go win a Heisman, and regardless of where you go, you're still going to be a first round pick. I get that. But damn, like, if I had an opportunity to go win a Heisman and I know I could go do that at Georgia or Alabama, and I get one free go, I would consider it. I may go, and you know what? The NIL, I'm interested to see what the NIL is there at North Carolina. I don't think it's crazy big for football compared Michael to obviously Jordan, basketball. Bro. Yeah,
Michael MJ Jordan has to break that dude good. Off.
He better be getting broken off.
Next thing you know, actual Drake is going to turn in his Duke gear, and he's going to be showing up in Tar Heel gear, hanging out with Drake May courtside at UNC games. Just wait, calling it now. No, Aaron, look, I think you got to go back to the words of the great American poet here, Bob Frost, okay? He came to the fork in the woods. He took the road less traveled. You want him to take the well-shorn trash path that we're seeing all over the country now. You want him to be Jahmyr Gibbs. You want him to be Henry To'o. Worked out for those guys, right? Stick where you are. Go win at UNC. You can win the Heisman from there. You can win the ACC there. And if you do, you will be immortal. If you win a natty at Alabama, you're just another national championship winning quarterback at Alabama.
People don't care about football.
You got to go back to 1980.
People don't care about football. People don't care about football. North Carolina. No, no, they don't care.
Until you win. People don't care about basketball in New Orleans until you have the Pelicans sitting top number one in the Western Conference. Go look at the NBA standings.
You and I are both SEC guys. You know what it means to play in this league. You know how much it means to the fan bases. Like, Stetson Bennett will never have to pay for anything the rest of his life in the state of Georgia. I don't have to pay for a lot of things in the state of Georgia, and I didn't win a championship. Like, you, as a starting quarterback, and Drake is a far superior quarterback than both of us, if you come to a place like Alabama or Georgia and you win and win a Heisman and go and win a championship possibly, you are set for life. North Carolina, they're just like, wins basketball season. Great, we won an ACC championship. That's really cool. That's awesome. They don't care, man. They are a basketball stool. They know it. They will celebrate it. They will enjoy it. They will pat you on the back, and they will forget about it and get ready for basketball season. If you win in the Southeastern Conference, it lasts forever. It hits different, T-Bob. You know it. You live it every single day here in the SEC.
The simple truth, the simple truth of American football is that everybody's a something school until they're good at football. Even Kentucky, which has built an empire on the game of basketball, even when they got a taste, even a little taste there, just a little, they got a tiny little suckle at the football god's teat, just a little football god colostrum. And what did they do? All of a sudden, they're shitting on John Calipari. They're paying Mark Stoops more than they pay Calipari. People are showing up for the games, talking about Calipari needs to chill out, dude. We support Stoops, blah, blah, blah. They quickly dropped basketball, only to now be disappointed because they reminded that Kentucky, they got to hop back on that basketball bandwagon.
But how long was that built, though, T-Bob? How long? That was built over Mark Stoops over 6-7 years of having success and being almost like that number two.
That's the beautiful part about American football.
It wasn't a flash in the pan. You get one star player for a season and then you go back to being irrelevant the next season. That's the problem right now for North Carolina. It's not like, do we feel confident that this is going to then all of a sudden turn North Carolina into a contender for the next 5-6 years where people continue to love football? No, it is a true
quarterback
basketball school.
A great quarterback is like a piece of alien technology that you find and you reverse engineer. It can make you relevant immediately on a way grander scale than you have any right to be. Good job by Drake May staying at UNC. I think he made the correct
Chad
decision.
Dog.
And
Chad
I think
Dog
that he will feels caring about it.
Yeah, good by him, sticking to his commitment. Chad Dog 77 in the chat says, I'd buy Aaron Beers when he is in Augusta.
Chad Dog.
If I don't get snipped this year during the Masters, I will be there in Augusta. So I will take you up on that beer. So I will see you there.
Oh, my God. Here we go. I mean, Brum, where's our invite, right? Like, I mean, you know, it's not like I would love to go to Augusta, but no.
We don't work together 5 days a week or anything.
Yeah,
all we have to do is offer to buy him one beer. Apparently, he's giving us Masters tickets.
Oh my God, unbelievable!
You can't buy Masters tickets. I think they just like come out of like thin air.
Oh my God, I do not. I hate Masters Bros talking about the Masters ticket buying process. There's nothing more mind numbing. It's like your fantasy team, how your bets did this weekend, and the path that you had to go to get Masters tickets. I don't give a fuck. Not a single one. Couldn't care less. In fact, but yes, we both will be getting snipped soon. So somebody should give me.
Why am I? So B Bean wants to know why we are so proud of getting snipped, because we did our job. B Bean, we brought myself two new humans to this world, along with my wife, T-Bob, about three. We have done our part. It is more of a celebration knowing that we have done what we came here to do and are going to hopefully raise great human beings.
JLab has something for everyone, with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics. UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLab joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
What up, y'all? T-Bob here from Snaps, your new favorite college football podcast on the Volume Sports channel. And I want to remind you football fans to make every Thursday one to remember with a free, no-sweat, same-game parlay from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. That's right, every single Thursday, all customers, not new, doesn't matter if new, older, all customers get free bets back up to $10 if your NFL same-game parlay does not hit. So, like, I just got on the site a second ago, right? I like Rams plus 6.5. I can't imagine we live in a world this quickly where they're that much worse than the Raiders, especially at home. So Rams plus 6.5 at home. Derek Carr under 249.5 throwing. Van Jefferson over 37.5 yard receiving. Nice, simple. That's going to pay out 5-1, basically. Okay, free, no sweat, $10 bet. Going to pay out $54.98 if you win. So remember, you can build your own right there in the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Or they even have popular same-game parlays already pre-built that you just click on. Never forget, Marylanders, FanDuel now live in Maryland. So make sure you get in on the action. Create offers, boosts, and everything that adjusts for you. You can see it there in the app. When you sign up, use the promo code SNAPS. If you don't already have an account, that's promo code SNAPS, and you'll get free bets back if that same-game parlay does not hit. So let's make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
So,
look, I rode these nuts hard, okay? I rode these nuts hard. Now it's time to hang them up, put them in pasture. It's like the same deal when you have, like, a great racehorse. Well, it's, I guess not exactly the same because in the great racehorse
it's
analogy, they end
literally
up
the exact opposite.
Yeah, it's like, but it is kind of the same in that their race has been run. And now they get to gallivant all over the fields of freedom for the rest of their lives where my balls race have been run. And now I get to finish inside.
worry-free for the rest of my life. Okay, I've earned that right. Yes. Bro. That really yes. come easily. Okay? Get it? It is. But I can come easily anywhere I want now for all time. And that's a great feeling. I mean, it really is.
Ooh, it's a
big deal or no big deal. Bro, I bet you don't know this. This is actually a little OTB segment that we generally do on Thursdays, but I'm just realizing we forgot to do today. OTB was our radio show here at Baton Rouge. So big deal or no big deal, what you got, Ryan Brumley?
All right. Let's pull this up. All right.
The chat right now.
Yeah, they're laughing at us. All right. So Deion Sanders poached an assistant. Charlie Kelly is going to be the DC at Colorado. Aaron, is that a big deal or no big deal?
I think it's a big deal for Colorado. I mean, Deion's putting together pretty impressive staff, that all have, you know, really, really good resumes that only get recruits more and more excited. You know, you walk into a living room, you say, okay, I'm Deion Sanders. And I think another big thing is too, like you want to talk about getting kids on campus. A lot of these parents of these kids grew up watching Deion. So like, you know, there's a lot of these parents kind of fanboying right now knowing that, hey, son,
I know you may
not like Colorado, but we're going to go take a trip because I want to go take a picture with Deion. Like these parents are fanboying like crazy knowing that their son is getting recruited by Deion. You win the parents over. That's a big step. That is a big step. Reason why I didn't commit to UCLA, my dad said, no, you ain't going to UCLA. That's too far for us to travel. Literally knock them out. There's going to be a lot of parents saying, I trust Deion. I buy into Deion. It's prime time. Son, I think you should go there. So he's going to win the parents. He's going to win the kids. And then you say, okay, I got this DC from Alabama or this defensive guy from Alabama, this guy from here, this guy from here. He is building something that is a recruiting machine that is a powerhouse. So I think big for them. Obviously, for Alabama, Nick Saban, who cares? They'll be fine. He'll plug and replace any position guy that he needs.
To me, this could not be further from big deal. Because if it wasn't, I'm not saying it's a bad hire, right? I'm a hiring nihilist, though. I stole that from Malcolm Gladwell's Revisionist History podcast. Like, I don't believe that any of the metrics that we have for hiring actually amount to shit. Because the most perfect hires go awry all the time. It's like the logic that I hate, where people are like, I just want the best person. I just want the best person for the job to be hired. Hello, McFly. If we knew who the best person was, then we wouldn't have failed hires. That's the point. You can never really know, right? So like, I don't care. It's a good hire, bad hire. I have no idea. What I do know is if I mention the name Charlie Kelly to any of y'all people out there listening right now, all y'all would have thought of Charlie from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Ain't a single damn person that would have known that he was a DB coach at Alabama. And hand up, that's true for me. I had no idea who Charlie Kelly was until this story came across my desk. Ryan Brumley, did you have any idea who Charlie Kelly was?
No, I did not.
Aaron, did you?
Okay, it doesn't matter because when you put...
Answer the question.
I agree. I didn't. But as soon as you say his name along with DB coach at Alabama, there's a level of credibility that rings in your head. Like, okay, he coached under Saban. Okay, he coached on the defense side of the football at Alabama. He must be good.
Alabama's DBs were garbage this year, dude.
Sometimes, T-Bob, well, perception.
They two guys
are
first team all SEC. First team all SEC guys.
Okay. So maybe that was a bad take by me. If they had two.
Maybe just the DBs but this and is a good the SEC one. Just suck, hey. Or they're maybe, yeah.
More like Poolade McKinstry. Got him. All right. What's next?
Nailed it. All right. Speaking of perception being reality, Texas A&M went 5-7 this last year, but are still nailing the recruiting wars. They just signed a number one running back, Reuben Owens, to their 2022 class. T-Bob, big deal or no big deal?
No big deal, simply until Texas A&M can prove that they can take advantage of all this talent that they're amassing. And again, it's not just the last, like this year is not disappointing because they didn't take advantage of a freshman class. If anything, by the end of the year, the freshman class is the only thing that A&M fans have to be excited about. I mean, they really went off on a high note, ending in the manner that they did in that LSU game. But the problem is they were a top five recruiting class for the previous like 4 or 5 years. Like there is no excuse to not even be bowl eligible to, with an LSU win, end up at 2-6 in the SEC, 5-7 overall. The talent to result gap is absolutely massive. So no, it's not a big deal if you stay hot on the recruiting trail until you prove to me that you can win with great recruits. Now, I do think like recruiting is well over half the battle. So if you can get your head out your ass, you can be good right away. But I'm in prove it mode with A&M. I'm done giving any benefit of the doubt. They got to prove it.
So I think it's good news in the sense of that there must still be money flowing in for these top recruits that want to go to A&M, these five stars. Because if you take all that away, you're like, why would you go to a team, a five-star guy, a team that didn't even make a bowl game, that's having all these issues on offense? Well, it must mean that there's a big fat check most likely coming at the end of that commitment when he walks onto that campus. So I think that's good news, knowing that all these recruit are these, you know, boosters and guys that are heavily involved, you know, because I would be pissed off. Like if I was writing a check for six figures to seven figures to get these top, you know, four and five star recruits like they did last year to get those guys in there to have the number one recruiting class of all time into Aggie land, and then seeing guys smoking the locker room, guys getting suspended, I would say screw that. I'm not getting my return on investment. I'm not giving any more money. So to kind of get the hint that these boosters are still heavily involved, that there's the money still flowing, that recruits are getting money, kids on the football team are getting money, to me is encouraging. Because like you said, T-Bot, X and O's are great, and Jimbo needs to improve on the X and O's. And you know, if you didn't watch our show yesterday, we had an interesting name for who should be the next OC at A&M, a little early Christmas present. So you should go check that one out. Not Joe Brady. But anyways, you got to get kids on campus to at least give yourself an opportunity. So I do think that's a good sign that means that the powers that be, the ones writing the checks, are still writing some pretty fat checks.
All right, and last
Brum,
one.
Can I hop in?
Yes, please.
Can I make my own big deal or no big deal?
Of course, this is your show, buddy. I'm just a passenger.
Big deal or no big deal? Phil Longo leaving UNC, going to Wisconsin. And the reason I say this is, has there ever been a more odd fit than a Phil Longo spread attack combined with the Wisconsin Badgers? Like, it just doesn't compute. It's like trying to divide by zero or something. Like, I can't even wrap my head around it. Something breaks when I try to think about what it's going to look like on the football field. Like, are you really going to have that many thick, slow white guys running the spread? Aaron, help me out here. Big deal or no big deal?
I think it's more of a concern for UNC, honestly. You know, I told you, people, you go to UNC and you get the hell out of UNC. You want guys to stay at UNC because you think that there's some magical run that's going to happen where UNC becomes a football school of a sudden, and the ACC becomes a prominent conference in college football, and they just kind of run away with things. They could care less that their TV deal absolutely sucks. Get the hell out of UNC. Get the hell out of the ACC. Get out. If you have the opportunity to leave that conference, leave, unless you're Brom, who gets to go home to Louisville. Other than that, he's the exception. I don't mind at all. But yeah, it is kind of funny thinking about a bunch of slow white guys trying to run a spread offense in college football. But we'll see if he can change his offense up a little bit, evolve. You got to coach to your talent, T-Bob. Coach to your talent.
I just cannot fathom a Wisconsin box score where it's like Graham Mertz or somebody throw the ball like 67 times. He's like 42 of 67 for 330. I can't fathom it. I'm not ready for that yet. We'll see. By the way, I'm loving all the day man and night man references going on in the chat right now. Some of the best episodes of Always Sunny that have ever been written. And never forget, if you want to get into this boy's soul, you have to pay the troll toll. Brum, what's our last big deal or no big deal?
All right, so Aaron got himself in some hot water swimming in these social medias.
Yeah.
Mississippi State running back Dylan Johnson announced he was hitting the transfer portal and had some parting words for Mike Leach on the way out. He had a long Instagram post that ended with, quote, "With that being said, since I am not very tough and Leach is glad I'm leaving, I will be entering my name into the transfer portal with the hopes of finding a more fit playing environment for me." Aaron, big deal or no big deal?
I don't think it's like a mega deal. I'm just more like, why air your dirty laundry, man? Just like, there was no need to say any of that. Just say, listen, I appreciate my time at Mississippi State. I love my brothers, love the university. This is I feel like it's best for me to move on, and I will be hitting the transfer portal, and then end it right there. Just end it. We don't need to get any extra little jab on the way out. I just don't think it's a good look for the kid, honestly. I think it's a terrible look for him. It, just think, like, if I'm a your next head coach and you want to go to X university and you call them up and say, hey, I'm in the portal. I don't know how it all works, but say you call them up and say, hey, I want to go in the portal, and you're the head coach. Like, so first topic, what the hell is this letter that you just wrote about you leaving Mississippi State? Like, what's that little extra? Like, why? It's like the Caleb Williams, you know, fuck Utah on your fingertips. Like, just why? Like, why that little
little jazz? No.
What's the point? What's the point?
You cannot equate the two. It's just, you cannot equate the two.
I'm more equating the fact that it's both young men making immature decisions. That is more the area. And why is it not similar? Look, why is that similar to two guys making immature decisions?
How can you look like a teen boy trying to look like a 30-year-old, but have the opinions of an 80-year-old when it comes to Caleb Williams' fingernails? Writing stuff on your body or tape or painting your face, you know, getting ready for battle. These are ancient time-honored tradition amongst warriors, okay? Him writing F whatever college on his nails is drastically different than this guy going out of his way to take a shot at Leach on the way out, because we don't see the latter. Like, you never see somebody do that. Why? Because it's not good business on a personal level. Now, I think Lane Kiffin might have retweeted, so maybe the fix is already in and he's going to Ole Miss. I'm not exactly sure. But like, okay, just think about it. Any job that you have.
How is it not showing immaturity?
Because what, you never wrote anything on your tape? I used to write GMFT because Lattimore did it in the program. Game motherfucking time. Let's go. I used to paint my face and lose my mind and yell at people who's going to crack their spines and drink their blood. Like, no, it's not different. That's the field of battle. This is not. This is like somebody leaving a job and, like, on their resume, tweeting out, like, shitting on their old boss. I've never been on LinkedIn, but I assume this is what goes on LinkedIn. Like, shitting on your old boss on LinkedIn on the way out. That's bad. That's going to look bad to future employers. No NFL teams like, Caleb, why did you paint your nails? I think you show a lack. No, you know what it shows? A bit of chutzpah. You should appreciate that, being half Jewish, Aaron, okay? It shows a little bit of nuts, a little bit of vim and vigor and a thirst for battle. I love that Caleb Williams paints his nails, and I think it's ridiculous that he's even catching a modicum of flack for it. Now, this kid who did this thing with the announcement and everything, that's pretty stupid. Like, again, the first question any coach is going to ask you is, why did you do this on the way out? Like, no coach wants anybody who's bringing even a modicum of drama from the transfer portal, unless you're just like a legitimate NFL guy.
Yeah, no. First off, you can have your points. Like, I'm fine. Paint your nails. You live in California. It's all good. Do what you need to do. It's a new era. The messaging.
So now we know what the real issue is. He does not have the message. It's the nail painting.
No, I could care less. It's 2022.
It's the basic nail painting. Your body.
You do whatever you want to do. I'm not going to get into that. And once again, get canceled because of I say you can't paint your nails depending on what gender you are.
I'm just more concerned about the
messaging on the nails. I know a lot of guys say, I'm not a role model. I didn't ask to be a role model. You are a role model. You are a role model to young kids across the country that are tuning in to watch Caleb Williams go out there and win a Pac-12 championship. And when the first thing that kid sees and that mom and dad sees is F Utah on someone's fingernails, I would tell myself,
Is this a family of eagles? Are these a family of Tolkien's elves? Do they have super sight? Does the dad have the binoculars? Honey, we gotta leave.
Were you not watching the game on TV, Bob? Did you not see it blowing
what
up?
What day was the game of the Pac-12 again? Title game?
It was Friday night.
So what was going on Friday, Aaron?
I was in the hospital. It was awesome. And you know what I did?
You weren't there watching it and then discussing it over and over.
I said, Hey, little baby Bobby, you see that shit right there? If you don't paint your nails, you're done. You're not living under my, like, you better paint whenever you play a football game. You better paint yourself up with all sorts of derogatory messages towards your enemy. Otherwise, you're not going to live under this roof. I said, thank you, Caleb Williams, for teaching my kid a little fight, little yeah. chutzpah, like I said. Hey,
Christopher Dave in the chat said, you know, his six-year-old would ask mom if he can write F to his teacher on his nails going forward. Just a great message for young kids.
Yeah,
that
makes sense. That. Are you in direct competition with your teacher? What are you talking about? No,
hey, you know
no,
what?
That's a symbiotic relationship. If you are
hostile,
raising the type of kid that's going to write F's his teach like F Miss Love on his nails.
What
that's
about,
on
what about
you.
The kid that's what
I
about,
hate to tell you that. That ain't Caleb
kid?
Williams' fault, Aaron.
No.
That's on you.
Yes, it is. The fact that it's even in the kid's mind. Yes. T-Bop. All right, whatever. Parent how you want to parent. I'll parent how I want to parent. I do not appreciate him doing that on national TV.
Dude, how nervous are you going to be when little baby Bobby shows up at the doorstep painted nails to pick up Miles? I mean, are you going to be scared? I don't know. And it's,
probably,
his nails are literally going to say
he's
going to
be significantly bigger than me. That's
Aaron. He's going to say it's going to say F Aaron on his nails.
Yeah, well, too bad he's going to have little baby hands like his daddy that he's not going to be big enough to write all that on there, so.
Actually, his hands are almost as big as mine, which, again, I don't support. Oh, yeah. I don't care if he has tiny hands. I'm okay with, but he's got big hands. Just saying, dude. He got my wife's hands. My wife has, like, Lana from Archer hands. She could dig you a ditch if you needed her to. She's like a tractor. It's unbelievable. You've never seen anything like it. They're as big as mine.
All right, so I think we both can agree, though, that the letter was a little over the top, was completely unnecessary for him. And I tweeted last night. I've had
we do agree on
that. I
don't
block people. I just mute people so I don't get like the notifications. Like this one idiot just would not leave me alone all night. Like I get in a thread where I'm not even responding, but then people are responding. So my phone's blowing up. I'm like, please, I need out of this. Can you all just like un-at me so you guys can get after it without me seeing your entire conversation? It was quite entertaining though, as I was feeding Miles last night at like midnight to be in the middle of these wars, and I would jab in every now and then, but a little bit too much.
No, I know. Getting caught in a big argument in a thread is like one of Twitter's most annoying things, but thankfully you can mute him. And I agree with you, Aaron. Never block, always mute. You never want to give anybody the power that, you know, that you think they think that you gave them the time of the day. By the way, guys, it's 9-inch hands. Not that I care. It's okay to be under 9, but I'm a 9-inch king. Aaron's a 9 1/4 king. We're all kings here. Okay.
T-Bob, I have to tell you one thing you're super wrong about real quick.
What?
The F Utah thing will 100% be a story when he gets drafted. It'll be a thing. I guarantee it.
Okay.
In the media, do you think a prospective employer will care? Do you think he is going to lose draft value because he wrote that on his fingernails?
Sources say that some teams are concerned about Caleb Williams' leadership. They referenced, you know, X
this
thing that
fake.
Happened this
this
year and F
doing.
Utah on his nails for a point in the Pac-12 championship game. Just
this is fake. You just made that
say,
up.
I will say
no.
I've seen moments, and I love Caleb Williams. I think Caleb Williams is the best player in America, but I've seen moments this year of immaturity on the field. I've seen moments where he rolls his eyes on the field at his coordinator for certain plays that were called, and it's just too much sometimes.
He is Caleb Williams, the next Kyler Murray, coming up next on First Take.
Exactly.
I mean,
because
I
he paints his nails. Look at the evil.
No,
that
because he does stuff like that on the field. He will
language.
Literally look to the sideline and put his hands on his hips and roll his eyes at his play caller saying, why are we calling this? Are you kidding me right now? Like, yes.
Well,
there's
how about
a
you
lot
don't call
of growing up
play.
That needs to be done. There's a lot of growing up that needs to be done for Caleb. So will it hurt him? If you're a team that needs a quarterback next year and it's Drake May versus Caleb Williams, who you picking? And I think that will be part of it. What is his maturity level compared to Drake May? And if we look at them both equally, will that be the deciding factor?
Are my ears, is my brain bleeding? If somebody makes a draft decision between Drake May and Caleb Williams because Caleb Williams paints his nails, you should be fired.
It's not the
like you should not be a GM. You should not be an NFL owner.
It's the overall immaturity. It's all of it together, T. It is the it's the rolling the eyes. It's the questioning of the play caller. It's the painting of the
fair.
Nails. Like,
that's
it
fair.
All is a,
that's
it's
fair.
All
I
a
don't think
of
the painting
of
the nails.
Immaturity.
I disagree.
Not
so
just
I disagree
the
with
the
assertion that the painting the nails though is representative of the immaturity. I agree with you. BBL, bad body language, looking like Kyler Murray, like it's never my fault. It's already everybody else's fault. None of that is good, and that will work against him. Painting his nails, not so much. We're making a mountain out of a molehill. In this case, hey, Heisman hypotheses. Who's going to win the Heisman?
Caleb.
Most fun conversation in all of college football. Who's going to win?
Joy.
I forgot. Caleb Williams paint his nails. Can't be him. Can't be him.
Can't
paint
do it. Nails. He can't. Can't get a guy. Do you think? Does he paint his nails on Saturday night? That's going to be the first thing that I will be.
If he doesn't,
at,
he's a coward. If he doesn't, he's a coward. At this point, you have to double down. Yes, like the sculptor doubled down when he realized halfway through Aaron's bust that it was not coming out well. And he was like, I got a deadline. I got to finish it. And so he just found a way to push through.
I mean, the teeth are the worst part. I mean, my God.
Yeah.
I pride myself on my smile and he butchered it. Yeah, it's true.
Well, it's like try to draw teeth and it always looks weird. It always looks overdefined. It's not a thing. I read a lot of comic books and like if you ever like in a cartoon or a comic, you ever make somebody look creepy, you draw every single tooth in. It's an odd thing. I don't know why that is. Who wins the Heisman? Probably still Caleb Williams.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's two? I think that's more interesting. Who's two?
Probably Stiquavius, actually. I think so. I think that his maybe CJ Stroud. I don't know. Well, I don't know. No, I think Stiquavius. I think Duggan? His narrative, his stats against ranked. No, Duggan screwed it up. He screwed it up last. He did everything he could, but they had to win that game. He would have won it. I mean, that's what was so fascinating about Duggan is going in that last drive. He had not just the playoff hopes, but he had a Heisman on the line, and he came up just short.
First, so, all right. So I'm gonna go to the chat real quick. So Derek Walker asked, not Hendon Hooker, right, Aaron? I don't know if y'all saw this or not, but I think Hendon should be there. I just think that also Sequavia should be there too. I think CJ should be the odd man out based on his performances and Heisman like moments this season. You know, yes. T-Bob has said it a million times. If you're an Ohio State quarterback, you're going to put up stats. There's nothing new about that. There's nothing exciting about that. You had your opportunity versus Michigan at home. You crapped the bet. You threw two picks. Your team got embarrassed. Sequavius in big-time games this year, Oregon, then LSU, and a couple Tennessee threw a boatload of touchdowns and was absolutely a Heisman-like candidate in those moments. Hendon was a Heisman-like moment over and over again this season. Max Duggan was amazing every single week. Caleb Williams had Heisman-like moments all season long. The only one in that group that did not have a Heisman moment was C.J. Stroud. He did what we expected him to do, be an Ohio State quarterback and put up great numbers. Mm. That's it. Not saying he's not a great quarterback. I think he's a great quarterback.
Very fair point.
He's not. He did not have a Heisman-like season, in my opinion.
And then you got Stiquavius out here. It's like how, you know, like a Roman center couldn't be a center till like 40 years old, right? They did a similar thing at Georgia quarterback where you have to be like 27 years old to get to play. And it's really worked out. You got Stiquavius over here just dropping his balls on like eighth graders, balling out. How about that stat that him and Lamar Jackson came out? They're the same age? Is that what it is? The same age?
Yeah,
Lamar
both Jackson born won in 1997.
Like 2017? Oh, my God. Ah, my chair. Oh, man. All right. Well, we have to go. Thank you so much, Aaron Murray. Thank you to all of our wonderful friends who are hanging out and chat with us. Be you a dog fan, SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12. We love all of college football here on the Snaps podcast. Huge thank you to Volume Sports Network for having us here. Huge thank you to FanDuel, promo code Snaps, and you sign up there. Please, please, please help us continue to grow the pod as well as YouTube. You can do that by liking, subscribing, share the pod with your friends, read and review it. All that stuff helps. Huge thank you to Papa Colin, Ryan Brumley, Paul Farrington, Pat Gunter, Danny Carnez, and you, Aaron Murray. You have a great day. Y'all have a great day, and we will see you on the next Snaps.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.